Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Welcome in the Senior Moments crew with you here on a Wednesday before the divisional playoff round. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osier, Joe Fortunato bantering about in the studio. He's as senior as any of us.
And do you realize, not to interrupt you, but to interrupt you.
Yeah.
We just walked off the practice field in mid-January, and there's only 8 or 7 other teams practicing.
I got that. Yeah, I got that. In fact, I've said it 3 or 4 times this week,
right.
January. Yes, January, because
yeah.
It's been so long since we have gotten this far into the postseason. I think hopefully the people who were here, the people that watched it on TV, have absorbed that and are enjoying that aspect
absolutely.
Of it.
And it's – I always get that. When I covered Indy for years, they're in the playoffs a lot. And it was there that I started to develop the appreciation. Back when I covered the Jags, they made it 4 times, but I was too young to really appreciate it. But 24 other teams are changing coaches, talking about coordinator contracts. Other writers are doing stories about what the offseason will bring. It's rare, and there was just something on the practice field today that struck me as, wow, these guys are preparing. They're one of the best 8 teams in the NFL.
And we probably wouldn't have projected that when we got ready to start September football.
Sure.
Not based on what we had seen in the preseason, you know, with the troubles with the offensive line. The defense didn't stop the run very well.
I'm not sure anybody dreamed it until week 5.
Right.
And I think it's pertinent because you're playing the Steelers again.
Yep.
And I don't say coming out party because even after they beat the Steelers, I didn't think, wow, they'll be in the division playoff. But players have discussed it this week, and it was then that you went, huh. And to me, it wasn't even – I rewatched part of the game this week or the highlights. And looking back, it wasn't even the interceptions that caused me to think, okay, this team's pretty good. It was – the Jaguars got down 3-0 in that game, as I recall.
Yes.
And maybe it was the interception, but it wasn't the interception returns in the third quarter. It was they're down 3-0 on the road in Heinz Field. Tough place to play. And I think most people going into that game sort of assumed it was going to be a loss because it was the Steelers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get down and you intercept a pass. And you sort of say, no, we're going to stand our ground in this one. This is not going to be 10-0 first quarter. 10-3, 17-3, the way a lot of losses in the past for this team have gone. Jalen gets the interception. It was the one where he went over the tight end, one of many remarkable plays this year. And then in the second quarter, Fournette goes over the top.
Which was a remarkable play
in
his own right.
And I remember writing at halftime of that game, this is first-round top-5 stuff we just saw.
Right.
It was two guys who were living up to their draft potential, elite-level talent, and first-round talent coming through and fulfilling what they are is why the Jaguars were ahead at the end of the first half. And I thought that was sort of – and then the Telvin Smith moment obviously was huge. But those were sort of moments where you went, okay, this franchise, this team is getting on its foundation. It's
right.
It's kicking off its baby shoes, so to speak.
Well, in my memory from that game, the turning point as far as I could tell, they're up 7-3 at the half, and Roethlisberger goes down the field, right, using Le'Veon Bell, and you're thinking, uh-oh,
right.
You know, here's that moment where the Hall of Fame quarterback is going to make that play. And they didn't, and they settled for the field goal, but they get the lead 9-7. You feel the momentum changing. Jags go 3 and out and
felt
punt.
Like it was going downhill again.
Yep, Jags go 3 and out and punt. We'd seen this movie several times since 2010. And I can remember walking behind the bench and thinking, somebody's got to make a play right here, and it has to come from the defense if they're going to find a way to win the game. 2 plays later, Telvin Smith steps in front of the ball, returns it, and then obviously, you know, 6 plays later, Barry Church does it. That's the moment where I said, this defense really is special.
And there's a couple of things in that sequence that's interesting because you spend the year sort of trying to define this defense and what it's all about, and you know, when you talk about teamwork and camaraderie and spirit, people sort of roll their eyes. But on the play you're talking about, the Telvin Smith play, maybe this is just symbolic and doesn't really mean anything, but Avery Jones gets the tip. Telvin Smith gets the interception. And then there's a scene, maybe it was shot by Hollywood Max Hockman, but I've seen a video clip of this where there's a down angle. I don't know. what do you call it, but you're watching Telvin from the end zone that he ran into. And behind him, right after the interception, you see Boye with his hands up.
Yes, I've seen that.
Boye might have had the pick had it not been for Telvin. But Boye didn't go, oh, shoot, I didn't get the pick. He has his hands up immediately, and it's been like that with this defense. And Doug talked about it some today, the camaraderie, Church and Boye and Campbell coming
Calais in. Calais talked about it in the locker room on Monday.
Right. There's something special with this that you really do get the feeling watching them that as much as the NFL can be in these days, it's all for one. We enjoy it. There's a camaraderie. And I don't know that it started in Pittsburgh, but Jalen tipping the ball in the next series to Barry. Again, it's two guys working as one. I do think there's an element to this defense that we first saw that in Pittsburgh.
I can just tell you that being on the sidelines and spending a lot of time listening to these guys as they were getting ready to go out on the field or as they were sitting there, you know, on the bench getting ready for the offense, they really do play for one another mm-hmm. in that sense. And I think it's because they all realize that they're all good, mm-hmm. right? I mean, look at the front four. Darius obviously didn't play in that game back in Pittsburgh, but you've got Darius and Pro Bowl, who's been an all-pro and a Pro Bowler, in Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue and the linebackers and the secondary. They all know what they're capable of, and they play as if he's got it or I've got it. There aren't enough plays for everybody to make them, so they enjoy the fact that it's getting made.
And you know what's fascinating about that is, and I guess the reason that we've come to this point, and why we led with this about what happened in Week 5, these guys are so into what we're talking about that they don't see themselves going up as the underdog, 7-point underdogs in this game. And it's sort of a weird dynamic in that the only experience this team has, and it is very much a first-year team, the only experience these guys have is Jalen Ramsey talks to Miles Jack, we're the best defense.
Right.
We're good. We've shown it. And, well, we've already gone there and won. So in no way do I think the Jaguars are going up there thinking, hey, we're the better team and we're going to walk over these guys. But at the same time, I don't sense anything talking to these guys that they think somehow it's the little Jaggies going against the mighty Steel Curtain.
Right. No. It goes back to the conventional
wisdom.
That's the
public perception.
It goes back to the convention. Right.
Public perception. But that won't sink in with these guys.
It doesn't at all. It's just like before the Seahawks game where Jalen stood in the locker room and said, y'all hype who you want to hype. We aren't the same Jags.
Right.
They don't see themselves as we may have seen previous iterations of the Jaguars.
Right.
They see themselves as we already intercepted them 5 times. We took Brown and Bell and kept them out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. We didn't let Ben get off. We know what we can do. They believe that firmly. So you've covered a ton of playoff games, more than me, because of your long tenure with the Colts. So I want to go back to a playoff game that this reminds me of that a lot of people have probably forgotten about, and it was the 6th playoff game in franchise history, which was the divisional playoff game in New York in 1998.
Okay.
Right? So the Jaguars go up with a dominant side of the ball. The offense back mm-hmm. then, dominant. And a side of the ball that can make some plays, the defense, but not nearly as dominant. I think it's reversed, but it's kind of the same situation here. They went and played Vinny and the Jets, which was a very balanced team that ended up losing narrowly in Denver in the AFC Championship game the next week. So here's my theory, my philosophy. That day, the offense had to play to their potential. Mark Brunell threw 3 second-half interceptions.
Right?
They were down 17-7 at the half and 3 interceptions in the second half, one of which was not his fault, but you get my point.
Sure.
The offense didn't play dominant. The defense couldn't compensate. The very balanced Jets, they had Curtis Martin and Keyshawn Johnson, right? That's kind of what I see here. The Jaguars have to go up. Their offense has shown flashes in the last 2 months, flashes of what they can be, but not consistent at all, and a dominant defense. So my contention right here, right now on Senior Moments and all week long is, yeah, you could talk about Blake Bortles having to play better. You could talk about Leonard Fournette needing Marquise Lee involved. But to me, this game is, can the defense go up and be dominant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, against Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and some version of Antonio Brown.
Well, and I think we're coming at the same point from different angles. I believe the Jaguars have a real chance in the postseason, and I've said this really since the first 5 or 6 weeks when we started reshaping what we thought about this team and started saying, okay, it's good. How good is it? The defense, because it has a chance to be – I'm a big believer in the playoffs, the team with the best unit on the field out of the four has a real chance to win because, again, as you just mentioned, it can impose its will on
right.
things. The Steelers' offense is really, really good. The Jaguars' defense, it's not absurd to think going in the Jaguars' defense might be the best unit of the four on the field.
You realize the Steelers' offense, as good as it is, only scores 25 points a game.
Right. Well,
the Jaguars score 26.
Right. That's my point. Because of the way the Jaguars play, because they are a aggressive, turnover-creating team, particularly once they get a lead, they are as good with a lead in that situation maybe as any team in the NFL is in any situation. Meaning once this team gets a lead and it starts really swarming and it starts getting a sack and the ball's in the air a second too long and Jalen and Boyd start closing on it, they are really good at closing out. If this team gets ahead on Sunday, then all of a sudden – that 7-point Pittsburgh spread, I'll bet the playoff meters, whatever those percentages
odds,
things
right.
are, if the Jaguars get ahead, all of a sudden that thing starts spiking way up for the Jaguars, or it will in my mind because the situation starts playing so much into their favor. That's their edge in the postseason. Yeah. They've got to get there, which means I believe this game is going to go – I'd be surprised if it doesn't go this way. I think there's going to be an onslaught at the beginning – of huge momentum for Pittsburgh. The towels are going to be rolling.
They've been off for 3 weeks. They're well rested.
Right, they're rested. They've got their 15 plays they've scripted. We saw it even up there. They moved early. They got the big play to Antonio
49
Brown.
Yards on the first play of the game. So over Jalen Ramsey.
So there's going to be that momentum feel where a play is going to happen and then Pittsburgh's going to be on the sidelines going, see? See, October was a fluke, and they're going to be high-fiving, and the fans are going to be going, ah, the Jags. Withstand that. Stay in it. Hold that thing to three. Hold that drive to three, and then get your footing about you.
Right.
Because in the playoffs, there usually is an early momentum surge for the home team. Get that or be ahead, then I think the Jaguars are going
to
win it.
Couple things to remember.
But it's tough to do what I just talked about.
Oh, that's, absolutely.
That's why you play for home field, because that's so hard to overcome.
But because you have a defense like you have in Jacksonville, you have the chance to withstand that or rebound from it, as the Jaguars
right.
did in the second half after Ben went down the field
right.
and got the lead.
And that's the X factor that makes this team different.
It does. It
every team to get to this point
different.
Has to have something that's carried it there, something that makes it special. That's clearly what makes the Jags special.
Couple things. Number one, the Jaguars, and people forget this, they played in Pittsburgh, ran for 231 yards. I get it, 90 of those were in the last 2 minutes of the game, mm-hmm. without their highest paid offensive lineman, mm-hmm. Brandon Linder, probably their best offensive lineman. He didn't play. That's when he had the illness, and he
right.
was out for a month. So you're going in a little stronger on the offensive line. And on defense, the Steelers don't have Ryan Shazier, and I've watched that game three times this week already, and he was everywhere.
Yeah.
He made more plays, more even stepping into gaps and forcing Fournette
right.
or Bortles to make a different decision that allowed another player to make the tackle. He is such a smart, heady player, besides the fact that his physical skills are off the chart. They're without their best defensive player. You've got your best offensive lineman back. It's not like you're going up there at a decided
right.
disadvantage. You're just going up with a 10-point game in your back pocket from the Bills.
I also wonder, there's still a big part of me that I don't think we've seen since maybe San Francisco, where the game just got away from them early. I don't think we've seen the Jaguars offense in the way that they're going to approach this game.
Yeah,
I didn't say that very well, but I think their game plan and their strategy going into this, I don't think you'll recognize it. If all you've seen are the Titans game and the Bills game,
yep.
I don't think they're going to play that. I don't know about the Titans. I do know the Bills game was very conservative. Let's not make a mistake.
When you saw Lee, Hearns, and Cole all without a catch in that ball game,
and with only three targets between
them. Yeah, you realize that.
And there's part of me that you just wonder if that was a little bit the approach against Tennessee. I think they will game plan this dramatically different and try to be aggressive in – I keep thinking about the Colts game when they had the fake punt where Doug came out afterward and said, we wanted to get ahead. Yeah, we want. I think early on there will be something there, a concerted effort to get ahead in this game. Obviously, you're always trying to get ahead.
Right.
I get that.
But to play to your strength.
Yeah, and because that's their formula for winning.
You bet.
If they can get there, then I keep saying they've got a shot at this. This is not a case of a little guy going against a big guy.
No.
And that's what it's going to be painted as. But I'm telling you, maybe 96 in those couple of games, even the Jags felt like it was little guy versus big guy because of the way they had gotten in, et cetera, et cetera. I don't feel that from this team.
No, they have a decidedly different approach. We've rambled on. Hopefully we've left people with some things to think about. I want to leave people with one thought. So when we went to Cleveland back the week before Thanksgiving, it was cold. You know, it was 31 or 32 degrees, and there were snow squalls coming in off the lake and 45-mile-an-hour gusts, and there were no players around the heaters.
Right.
As a guy who's on the sideline, I'm walking around and get in front of the heater anytime I want, right? The Jaguars were into that game. In Tennessee, I couldn't get it. If I stuck a hand in there just to warm up a hand, and it was dramatically colder, there was no chance. I think Jeremy Parnell turned and goes, hey, who's blocking the heat,
right?
At one point. They were all crowded around the heaters, which I think says something about their mindset. They were getting through the game. I expect on Sunday that I will be able to get in front of a heater, and it's going to be cold.
Right.
This team will play with great energy based on what I have seen and what I've heard in the locker room this week.
I do worry about the cold because it's going to be a factor, and Steelers are used to it.
I'm a little worried about it, too.
That, yeah, I'm not worried personally.
No, I know.
I'm
right. But of course you wouldn't be.
That will be – that's a tough thing to overcome. I think this team can do it. I'll be interested to see if they do it. But second round of the playoffs, Brian.
Yeah, here you go.
That's where we are.
Divisional round. And hopefully next week – we're here talking about the Patriots
moving
and the
on.
Titans as opposed to, wow, what a season. Because no matter what happens on Sunday, I think both of us are in agreement. Wow, what a season.
Unbelievable season.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm going to say it's all gravy, but unbelievable season.
Unbelievable season. All right. That'll do it. Senior Moments. John Osier, Joe Fortunato, Brian Sexton signing off, heading to Pittsburgh later this week. Have a great week, everybody.